This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
You mentioned Josh being on the ball a little bit more tonight than he was a month or so ago when Shea was back in there. Was that just giving Shea a chance to get back in there, or by design?
Design, yeah. I mean, we've got to be able to, utilize his strengths. I mean, he's a really good initiator. He's a really good creator. And we've got to use, that part of his game to unlock the potential of the team, it's going to require Shea, to make some plays off the ball a little bit, where he's driving closeouts, where he's shooting open shots. But it's also going to take some load off of Shea. I mean, he's not going to have to work as hard. That's one of the benefits of multiple creators, is you don't have to bust it every single possession to get your stuff. And I thought some of his stuff tonight, Shea's stuff, came off of quick closeouts. And I thought there was a nice balance there tonight. And I thought those guys did a good job of kind of carrying over the stuff that we've emphasized. But yeah, I mean, we're grooming that one.
So moving forward, Josh is going to be on the ball.
Well, I'm not going to guarantee an amount of possessions, but he's going to absolutely 100%. He's a really good player, and to be a great team, you have to have multiple really good players working together. He's proven that he can do that. Like I said, it's going to take some load off of Shea. It allows us to use Shea in some different ways, moving him off the ball to get advantages that he would normally not get when he's on it. So we're still exploring that, obviously. It's not going to be perfect. It wasn't perfect to start the game, obviously, but, we're focused on how to maximize the team. And obviously Josh Giddey's really, really good on the ball, and part of maximizing the team is nurturing that.
Yeah, we spoke about it, us three, but, a lot of it is just Shea's got, gravitates so much attention to him that, sometimes playing him off the ball is going to free him up even more. Whether it's me handling, initiating, and he gets it on that second side. He's so dangerous in so many different ways. So, as I said, our chemistry is building. And as we figure that out, that backcourt kind of structure out more, who brings it up, who initiates, a lot of it, it's just going to flow on and get better and better. So we spoke about it, and I think it was really evident tonight that, he played off the ball a bit more and he had 30 or so points. So he's a weapon in so many different ways, and the more we can expand together, the better it's going to be for this team.
Yeah, so that game last night, 124 Phoenix Suns to 104 us, that was rough. The game seems like a 20-point game, but the reality, let's just put it out there, it was much, much closer. I want to say it was like a 5-minute time period, 8-minute time period that they just went off in that fourth quarter, and they just gobbled up a bunch of points, and it was insane. But we had that game to single digits for most of that fourth quarter and a lot of that third quarter as well.
Yeah, it was a really strange game. We came out really kind of flat, and we were able to, figure out a way to turn it around. But it, when we went to our bench, I kept looking at it and being like, where's the punch going to come from the bench? But somehow that's where we made our run. It was really interesting. You see the lack of depth because of all the injuries that we have right now. And where I really think that affects is our bench. Our starters, generally, we look fairly close to what we should look like. Obviously, we're missing Dort, but, our bench was really surprising today.
I mean, this is what our bench does. That's why I consistently say they're the most consistent team, second team in the NBA. And I understand that there's other teams that have, the sixth man on their team, and they get, 20-plus points a game, but the output that we see every single night from the second squad is truly spectacular. And it's something that, as time goes on, if they keep getting stronger and better, then, it's going to be one of those situations we're going to have on our hands where, we're scoring 40-something points a game from our second team. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a high volume of scoring going on that second team, whether it's Vit Krejci, that was surprising tonight, had 8 points, one steal, one assist, two rebounds, 2-for-2 on three-pointers, and 3-for-4 and shots in 21 minutes. Phenomenal play by him coming off that bench. But again, he played within the game. He played with what they allowed him to take the shots. He didn't force anything. And that's what the second team does so well. Nothing's forced. Everything is just within the system, within the passing, and just getting within, open within the places that they're supposed to. And that's what's so beautiful about the second team.
Yeah, we got good games from Poku, Roby, Trey Mann, who put up 11 points himself, including one really deep three, and Poku, who put up 13 points on 5 of 10 shooting. Like, at first, it looked like he was really going to struggle, but he came out and he really recovered from that, and I think had one of his best games, and he's been playing really well recently. Isaiah Roby, 9 points. So our bench, we really only went 9 deep. We did play a couple more guys, but neither Lindy Waters nor Teo got more than 6 minutes. So it was a 9 deep type game. But really, like, we've kind of buried the lead today. The truth about it is what everybody wants to talk about right now is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey and how they played together. Dave, what'd you think about how they played together today?
I went back and kind of looked at the first quarter. I watched the first quarter twice, you know, back to back. I didn't even get to the second quarter during the second quarter, because halftime takes so long. I like sometimes like to go back and watch a first quarter or a second quarter while halftime's going on. So I'm sitting there watching the second quarter, just seeing all this, like, just missing, like, shots and breakdown of plays. I mean, we gave them like 14 fast break points in that first quarter, Mark.
It was crazy.
Insane. And to me, like, that's what I was trying to take out. What happens if we take out that 14 fast break points? Like, where is this team looking at, you know? And you know, they would have had like 17 or 18 points in that first quarter if it wasn't for those fast break points. But the thing about it was we were starting to see the glimpses of what happens when Josh Giddey and Shai are together. Josh Giddey needs the ball in his hands more so than Shai does, because Shai can score 32 points with barely touching the ball. And I think that's the thing about it. 32 points in 35 minutes for Shai. And a lot of that was because, you know, Josh is bringing up the ball. They're not full court pressing Shai right now. They're allowing Shai to get more and spend more energy on that offensive side. I like it. This is incredibly intelligent. I love what Coach D says about making sure that Shai and Josh learn to play together. But the reality is that with Josh Giddey in the game, it takes a lot of pressure off of Shai. And if Josh isn't focused on scoring and that's not his game, he's not going to be putting his effort into trying to score the ball, but Shai will. And I think that's where we're going to see a phenomenal 1-2 punch right here.
Exactly, man. And there's a couple of times Giddey got the ball from Shai and he gave it right back. And Shai went right at the basket, or he attacked. It was great to see. It was like Giddey understands that sometimes the best thing he can do is, you know, kind of be a decoy and get the defense to relax and let Shai set up with his dribble again. And like, but that's not his main thing.
But that's a give, like, and go that we talked about, that I talked about last night, is
right.
That's going to be the key to their breaking down the defense, is that cutting, giving, and going. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was great to see. I think Giddey's ability to, you know, throw the cross court pass over the defense, but still hit his man in the hands. Like, it's kind of like a perfect lob, but it still has like zip to it. So it's uncanny, and I think that puts Shai in a spot where he's a threat even on the weak side, and that's something we haven't seen before from him. And I was loving it, man. Like, at first it started off really slow. Like, it was like, okay. But what I noticed was, okay, so earlier in the season, the rotations, right? Giddey would come out first, and then he would come in when Shai came out. And the whole idea was to, like, let them both have an opportunity to be the man. Well, this time, they came out together. They played pretty much the whole first quarter together, and then they sat. And then the only time you really saw Giddey without Shai was Giddey came in the fourth quarter a little bit earlier than Shai. But other than that, like, right now, where we're at in the season, the entire focus is, in my opinion, on those two guys getting minutes together.
This is exactly what we talked about before the game yesterday, was it is going to be those two guys playing at all times. They're hanging out together. This is what they have to do. Like, they have to get in a chemistry, in a flow. And Shai knows this. Giddey knows this. They know that they are going to be the stars of this Oklahoma City Thunder team in the future. So they have to figure it out. Like, this is the easiest time to figure out this type of stuff. So, again, like, seeing how this is all going, seeing how these guys are playing, seeing how Coach D put lineups around Shai and Josh to help them, with their cutting, to help them with their screens, to help them with everything. I mean, like, that was the thing about it, is I watched the rotation that Coach D had everybody on, right? And, you know, Josh comes in the game slightly, or comes out of the game slightly before Shea, and then goes in the game slightly after Shea, you know, like there's, or slightly before Shea. So there's slightly, you know, these little movements that happen on the bench that if you watch what's happening, you start recognizing that Josh is going out in the game to get warmed up, right? He's going out there before Shea, so he's warm, right? And then Shea comes out and he just fits in really smooth, okay? And then once Shea gets going, Josh comes out of the game. And it's Shea's moment, right, for a couple minutes, right? And I like the flow of it. I like the flow that these guys around them are being substituted in as they're switching who's in the game to benefit these guys. And I love it, man. It's so much next level of shit that's going on in Oklahoma City. It's beyond anything we've seen before. And that's why we're looking at our bench and they're scoring 30-plus points a game right now, is because of this. Like, they're being put in positions that benefit them, along with Josh Giddey, along with Shea, along with Dort, along with all these other guys coming off the bench. They're sliding in right now. They're being put in particular with certain players because it benefits their game. And that's, it's spectacular, Mark. It's unbelievable.
It was really great to see. And yeah, I mean, there was a lot of chemistry that we started seeing as the game went on. But at first, it was kind of awkward. It was almost like a dance, and nobody wanted to take the lead.
Yeah, it was like a sixth grade dance, man. You know, you got a kid that goes to sixth grade dance. Nobody wants to go out there and dance.
Right. And so as the game went on, though, it kind of became apparent that Giddey was going to always look for Shea. Right. So that meant that Shea kind of needed to trust and go away from the ball. And like, just the fact that it was so difficult for Shea kind of shows how much we've relied on him, you know, being the person who goes and gets the ball, whatever situation. But for, while you did say it was kind of a new experience, one thing that I've noticed is it's kind of a lot similar to what we saw when Shea first showed up. It was Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Shea, and we played all three of those guys on the court at the same time. We weren't afraid of having three point guards out there. A lot of people questioned whether or not we could do it, and it looked really damn good when we pushed, you know, the Houston Rockets to game seven. So it was really interesting to see, like, we're back there now. Like, Shea is, like, a different level of player. Think about it. He put up 32 points on 22 shots tonight, and he only went 1-for-5 from deep. So overall, like, he could have easily put up 40 this game, and honestly, we still probably wouldn't have won it because of the way that we played, you know, in between things. Like, that final, that close to the game was, I think we were down by 5 with 5 minutes left in the game, and then we ended up losing by 20. Like, it was really, really bad. But the thing is, if you take away the first quarter where we were down by 19, and you take away the last 5 minutes of the game, and you look at everything else in there, which is what's going to be forgotten by most people, but if you look at everything else in there, what you're seeing is the formation of the best backcourt in the NBA, period. That's it. Like, you have to understand that. It's going to be that way for many, many years to come. It's not always going to be simple or easy. There's going to be moments where it's quite frankly ugly, but you have to let them grow together. And in growing together, we're going to be much, much better.
And watching how Josh Giddey uses the hockey assist to benefit the team is truly spectacular. We watched it last night. You know, I was watching Shea just score really at his own pace, really, whether it was cutting back door, whether it was, like I said, the hockey assist from Josh Giddey, where Josh Giddey passes it to the wing, Josh Giddey cuts at a certain angle and then cuts back door. I mean, like, there's so much movements going on here. You have to slow it down sometimes, but Josh Giddey cuts back door. And then you see the pass go over to Shea. And because of the way that Josh cut back door, Shea's guy had to, you know, keep an eye on Josh, which leaves Shea a half a step, you know, in front of his guy, which automatically assumed that he got this incredible layup. And he did that all night last night. Josh would cut to the hole and grab Shea's guy, or you would see Trey Mann cut to the hole and grab Shea's guy. Like, there was so much going on, and all Shea needs is a half a step. That's all he needs, because his layup is so unique and it's so fast. that he like it's just a release. There's no way that these centers have a chance to get up there and block it. And you know, Ayton's one of the best players as far as shot blockers in the league, and he had trouble all night against Shea. And Shea has taught that move to Josh, and it's sick, man. These two guys are going and doing these floaters in the lane that they're just running and doing a floater. There's no jumping. There's no time for a center to catch his feet. It's just sprinting to the hole and then flipping it up and boom, bucket. And I love it because it's catching this defense off so much. It's beautiful. I want to throw out last night, our defense was spectacular on DeAndre Ayton. He's one of the best young post players in the league. He took 5 shots last night. 5 shots. We collapsed big time. Only 6 points, man. The very first play of the game, do you remember what it was, Mark? They tried to do a lob to DeAndre Ayton for a dunk.
Yeah, and SGA broke it up.
Exactly. Their whole goal was to go to Ayton to start the game. That's all we want to go. We're going to go to him, throw him lobs. They won't be able to stop us. But guess what happened? We stopped them every single time they tried to do that. Yes, they beat us in other ways, but we made it impossible for them to beat us with the big man that they had. And I love it because every single time you hear somebody from Oklahoma City or ESPN, an expert of some sort saying Oklahoma City has to get a center. They have to get a big man. And I look at games like this and I'm like, no, we don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you can neutralize the other team's best offensive option within the the post area without having to go full-blown, we have a big man. Like, we did start Derek Favors, so, you know, it's not like we didn't go big, but, you know, having someone who can play that role and be, really neutralize Ayton is incredible because Favors put up 6 points on his own. And let's talk about the other starters real quick. We have Wiggins who put up 6 points and Baisley who put up 2 points. Baisley did have a great block on Booker, who he started the game guarding, and I thought that was a really interesting move by coach.
The first half, I thought, guarding Booker.
Right.
And maybe even the third quarter. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. His length, I think, creates issues, but Booker was able to find his groove, and throughout the game, as it went on, he was able to get up to his average. But I thought, it was an interesting move. When I saw Wiggins was starting, I figured Wiggins would start out on Booker, but that's not the way we went. And, those guys, they did a good job defensively. They, made some mistakes offensively. But, let's get back to Giddey and Shea. Like, that's what this was all about. We're playing the best team in the league. They're one of the best, I think, top 5 defensive teams, top 5 offensive teams. So we know we're going to have issues. We come out here to compete. We want to win the game. Looking at Shea after the game, he put up 32, but he looked like, it didn't matter because it was a loss. And, you like seeing that commitment, but at the same time, you want to get some wins for these guys because they're hooping. They're going out there and they're playing to win. Every single game that Shea plays, I feel like we should win. Now, we're not going to win everyone, but we want to go out there to compete. We want to give our team a chance. We want to have an opportunity to compete at the highest level for 4 quarters every time Shea is out there. It's been that way the entire time. Like, you look at the first year he was here, we made it to the playoffs. The second year, we were playing pretty good ball until he got injured. And when he got injured, we readjusted our goals. But looking at this season right now, Shea had been out there in the first half of the season. Honestly, it just wasn't working, trying to play Giddey off the ball. So we see what happens with Giddey, being on the ball. And then we say, okay, let's build on this. This is what it's all about. This is an intentional move, an opportunity for our team to build on the direction that we're going. And that's exciting because, now we're talking about a 1-2 punch instead of just saying we have an elite scorer who, can go on to be an all-star. Now we've got an elite 1-2 punch and they're still young.
And not even that, but let's just talk about one of our other young guys that I feel like is presenting himself as to be a third blow here, maybe a third punch here. I don't know, but what I'm seeing with Trey Mann is truly spectacular, man. Last night was, here's the thing about it. He didn't score an enormous amount of points, but what else he did out there was truly spectacular. He had a total of 11 points, 4 steals, 6 assists, 5 rebounds on 5 for 13 for the night in 31 minutes, man.
Dude, and that steal he had, fast break behind the back pass to Poku. Whoa.
Unbelievable, man. Like, he is next level, and every single moment that I see, it's like, holy shit, what can we see with Trey Mann in the future? And I'm telling you, he's making it known that he deserves it to be in that starting lineup.
Yeah, he started the second half. It seemed like he was playing better than Wiggins. But, like, let's face it, he's still young and he's still figuring out the game. So, really, what we do right now is we look at kind of all the good moments and we kind of forget the bad. Because as for rookies, you don't really want to, like, be criticizing them. A lot of people will look at things and say, oh, Trey Mann, negative 23. He was the worst plus minus on the team. But we look at it and we say, like, that has nothing to do with it. Like, a lot of his misses tonight were when he was throwing the ball as a hand grenade. You know, 2 seconds on the shot clock. But he can get a shot off. So his team, they use him like an outlet. He doesn't mind the hot potato shot because it's not going to, like, it might hurt his, you know, averages, but it's not going to be like something that they kill him in the film room for. And that's important, you know. So the willingness to take that shot, you know, you end up with some spectacular plays, like really deep threes and stuff like that. And he's still figuring it out. That's the hard thing to quite grasp is like from one game to the next, there's a big variance in the level you get. And that's because, you know, he's young.
Yeah, and they have him listed as a point guard, and I like that because he has the ball in his hands a lot. There's a lot of what we call combo guards or hybrid guards out there when he's out there. So him with the ball in his hands is fun because he doesn't mind passing it. I mean, 6 assists last night. That was insane. I just get excited. I get excited. I know we get stuck sometimes talking about individual players over and over again, but that's what this NBA team is. There's only, you know, 10 guys that get playing time in every given night. So it's hard to move on from some of these guys. And you see a guy like last night that struggled most of the season, you know, good games here and there, sporadic. But Poku, man, 19 minutes, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 offensive, 1 for 3 in three-pointers, 5 for 10 on field goals. Just a really consistent good night for him. For only 19 minutes, that was big for him.
Yeah, it was really big. He overcame, you know, an air ball three, which can be difficult for anybody to put out of their mind. And he presents so many different, you know, issues for the defense, all, you know, in the half court, but especially in the fast break. And he just was committed to doing whatever it took to help the team win the game. And it was great to see. He was a big part of that bench unit that really fought us back into the game. And Vic Krejci, man, seriously, this guy went 2 for 2 from deep. And overall, 3 for 4. He drove to the basket and got a big dunk. He's got a really good feel. He plays within himself, and he's capable of utilizing ball fakes and head fakes to create space. And because of that, he doesn't necessarily need to be the most explosive, but, you know, he attacks downhill every time. He's a big guard, and he likes to attack the basket. And from that, you know, you can develop good things. So, you know, this was his best game. First two threes, he hadn't hit a three before tonight. And it was just really fun to watch because we've been watching, you know, his film since we drafted him last year in the second round. And it was like, okay, it's going to take a while because he's going to have some ACL repairs. And a lot of people thought that it was a wasted pick. But here we are starting to see the payoff from it.
Yeah, and we have so many second rounders on this team, first team and second team. And I look at somebody like Isaiah Roby that is truly spectacular on, especially as of recently. He had 25 minutes last night, but I want to talk about a play that Coach D ran for Isaiah Roby to get him in the game. So what we saw was Josh Giddey bring up the ball and he drove to the hole incredibly hard, right? Pass the ball to the wing after he demanded the center to come guard him, Ayton to come guard him down in the lane, because essentially he was going to make it look like he was going to drive. DeAndre had no choice but to help switch off. And since Isaiah Roby was trailing back, nobody was guarding Isaiah Roby, right? Giddey gets into the lane and passes the ball over to Shea. Shea gets it at the corner and passes it right to Isaiah Roby for a wide open three. I mean, he had probably a good 3 seconds that he could have taken before anybody was near him. This is a cool play. It's not something I've seen a lot in the NBA where these guys are designing plays to get a 3-point off shot off in the first like 7 seconds of the shot clock. Like, this was a deliberate. Josh Giddey drives, passes to Shea. Shea passes over to Isaiah Roby for a wide open three. And this is a play that we're going to see a lot, especially when we're having 5 guards out on the floor, or 4 guards and one semi-post guy out on the floor. Like, we'll see this play a lot. And I appreciated Coach D getting Isaiah into the flow of the game. 9 points for him, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 rebound, 4 for 9 on field goals, and 1 for 5 on three-pointers. But he played within what he was allowed to and what he was given. And I think that was something, considering that he had to play a lot of minutes at that center position and led the team in center position minutes last night with 25.
Yeah, and this was, you know, it was a game where we knew, you know, we had a chance because Chris Paul wasn't going to be playing, but we didn't know how Phoenix would respond to that. And they honestly, they responded really well. This is a team that has a really good chance to win 60 games. It wouldn't surprise me if they won 65. They have, you know, that much of a head start toward that number. So, you know, this is one of the best Suns teams that they've ever seen. And, you know, for us to come out and beat them would have been a pretty big shocker, especially since right now they have a lot to prove. Because, like, if Phoenix wanted to do Chris Paul a big favor, they could just lose the rest of the games. And then he would be the MVP for a lock, right, Dave?
I mean, why wouldn't he be? At this point, I have a hard time saying, I mean, Joel Embiid has been playing great, you know, and I think he's deserving in the MVP. But if you look at what Chris Paul has done for this team, I mean, he's missed, what, 4 games his entire time with the Suns? Like,
barely, right?
So to me, looking at it like that, it's like we all know who the MVP is in the league. I mean, we all know that Chris Paul had an opportunity to go play with the Lakers, and for whatever reason, he did decide not to. Like, to me, like, I wish the best for him. I want him to win a championship this year more than anything. You know, like, this is the year for Chris Paul to win a championship, and he's going to be rested going into the playoffs, unlike he's been able to do in the past. Oklahoma City Thunder doesn't have a chance to win this year. And I say, you know, why not get together and root for the guy that led this team to the playoffs the last time we went? So,
right, exactly. And the thing is, if the Suns come out and they play really well, then a lot of people will say, look, they're ready to play without Chris Paul. Like, obviously, they want him for the playoffs and they want to make a run. But a lot of people wonder, how will the Suns respond to the post-Chris Paul era? And Booker wants to prove that he can lead this team. He wants to prove that he can be the alpha, that he cannot just be a scorer. Like, he started tonight at point guard, and they brought Cam Johnson off the bench to start, you know, kind of at the other guard or whatever.
No, Cam started.
That's what I mean. He usually comes off the bench. Oh, yeah, they brought him into the starting lineup.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, like, it was a different look for them, but there was no other guard. I mean, Mikal Bridges is listed as a forward. Jay Crowder is listed as a forward. And Ayton at center.
You see what they did, though, right, bro?
What?
They had one guard, and we had one center.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I mean, like, they could have brought Aaron Holiday off the bench instead of Johnson and given him the start, and then they would have had a point guard. But they're kind of looking at this post-Chris Paul era and saying, what do we want to look like? And right now, Aaron Holiday is a hired gun, and they don't want to say, we need a point guard. They're ready to give Book a chance to do that role. And honestly, he looked pretty good in it.
He deserves it, man.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, really, I didn't realize he had 12 assists. I mean, he played a good game, and you got to give him respect. I don't know if, you know, matching Bazley up was the right move, but I love the idea behind it, and at least we know he can play spots on him.
Yeah, and Cam Johnson and Miles Bridges, they're really, I mean, they're the size of our shooting guards, so it wasn't that big of a deal for us to switch over. Those guys are just bigger bodies than our shooting guards. But, I mean, Aaron Wiggins and Shea did a great job on those guys. So I'm not really worried about that. And then also you saw Josh Giddey had a tough assignment some of the night too. I think he got put on Jay Crowder, which is, I mean, great for Josh for a little while.
Yeah, how about that that lesson he got taught, I think, going into halftime where Giddey had the rebound and Crowder just – took it away from him and
Thanks,
scored
Josh.
2 points. And we were down one, and then we leave down three, which was crazy,
did
man. We were
Jay,
down
though?
19. What?
Did you hear Jay after he did it?
No.
He goes, "Thanks, Josh."
No way.
Josh is like,
"Fuck." Josh was looking up, man. He's like 4 seconds on the clock or whatever. He's looking up for an opportunity, and Crowder just takes it. So yeah. It was a little bit demoralizing, but it wasn't that bad because, like I said, we were down 19. And we had fought all the way back down one. Now we're down three going into halftime. Like, there was enough positive there that it felt like, hey, we have a chance. And after that first quarter, Dave, I don't know about you, but I started having this, like, feeling like man, this is just not our game. We're giving up fast break points. We're not playing like we normally play. But when that second unit came in and made a run, I was like, man, I love this team.
Yeah, I man, that's why I had to go back and watch the first quarter before the second quarter, because we know what's going to happen. We know that this team isn't going to get blown out of the water in the first, you know, three quarters. It's just not going to happen. You know, that happened one time this year, two times this year. But this team fights way too much for that to happen on a consistent basis. Like, this 20-point loss right here, again, it happened in the last, I said 5-8 minutes, but it was really the last 3 minutes that this lead was opened up on us. And that's, to me, I go back and forth on what this team is able to do. And that's why I get excited. You know, I would be remorse not to say anything about it, but, you know, obviously the Phoenix Suns have a lot coming into this game. You know, with coach for the Phoenix Suns, there's a lot of history in Oklahoma City with him. His wife passed away a number of years ago, by a, impaired driver, that was driving in Oklahoma City. And he was the assistant coach there for Billy Donovan. And it was a horrible thing. And the fact is that when something like that happens, you see a team rally around their leader. And that's exactly what they did around here. They were going to make sure that Monty was going to get the win tonight. You know, this has probably only been a couple times since he's been back, since the pandemic happened, and he wasn't able to come back to Oklahoma City. So, you know, this meant a lot to the team. This meant a lot to the organization, because Monty, he's a great coach, one of the best player coaches in the league, if not maybe one of the best player coaches in the last 20 years in the league. He's a phenomenal guy. And the fact is that, you know, this organization is incredibly lucky to have him, and he's lucky to have this organization. Chris Paul is doing great with them, and I really hope that this is something that they can work together and maybe get a win for this organization, because they deserve it, man. From up and bottom to the top, you have Chris Paul, you have Monty, you have a great system in place. This organization deserves to have a championship, and, you know, again, just a great place to see some good basketball right now.
Yeah, man, and I saw that Monty Williams was out in Texas, and he, Houston, I think, he was fishing after the All-Star game, after coaching that, and he couldn't get a flight, so he actually had to drive from Houston to Oklahoma City, which I think is about 7 hours under good conditions. I could be off. It could be a little bit further than that, but pretty crazy that he drove in from Houston to get there for the game. He missed practice, but he was there for the game. Impressed with that commitment by Monty Williams for sure.
Yeah, and again, he's another guy that we've seen that's been part of this Oklahoma City Thunder system and organization. And it's great to see these guys have success all around the league, whether it's been assistant GM in Oklahoma. Now that our GMs all across, you have assistant coaches and coaches that are having success everywhere, you know, past players. It, to me, this is exactly what is so beautiful about Oklahoma, is you're seeing this progression of players, coaches, GMs. They're all coming out of Oklahoma, and they're all part of Oklahoma systems. And it, to me, it shows you that when things are right and everything is lined up in the right time, and the team starts playing well and the draft picks start turning out, everything starts lining up. Everybody starts taking note. And next thing you know is there's going to have to be a reshuffle of this organization as far as personnel, because everybody's going to want a piece of it. Already, I want to say half of the league already has a piece of it, if not more than half the league already has a piece of it. And that's what we're looking at. And it's just going to be a matter of time before the whole league has a piece of Oklahoma City, whether it's, you know, players, whether it's coaches, whether it's GMs or assistant GMs, or player development coaches. Everybody's going to want a piece of this. And to me, it shows you that this happens every, you know, couple of generations where it redefines a sport. And that's what we're in the midst of. And that's what's so beautiful, is a lot of people are still trying to recognize that. But it's here, and we're part of it. And we're seeing Josh and Shea starting to work together. And everybody said they couldn't. And I'm getting excited, because this is the beginning of something that's far beyond anything we could have ever imagined.
Yeah, man. Everybody wants a piece of this, man, for sure.
Big and
there's
small.
Something special going on the prairie, dude. The big balls out in the prairie, bro.
The Buffalo balls, you know what I'm saying.
But, yeah, dude. But, yo, man, it was a hell of a game, and I'm really impressed with the way we fought back into it. Obviously, if you watched the first quarter and then you looked at the final score, you'd be like, yep, that looks like it, you know, we were down by 20 and we lost by 20. But everything that happened in between, man, that was some special basketball, some some great memories, understanding that, you know, watching the awkwardness will only make you appreciate when everything is clicking at a high level. And we've only just begun to imagine what it will look like when these guys actually help each other become better players, because we know that every great player is capable of helping the people around them become better. And I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah. And I think everybody wants to see what that looks like. I think that we're in the midst of, you know, rejuvenation, revitalization of the NBA, and something has to happen. And we're watching everything starting to come through, and we're seeing this whole new group of guys and talented guys come through. We don't know where Dort's going to be, or Shea's going to be, or even Giddey is going to be in the next 10 years. We could say we want them with the Oklahoma City for the rest of their careers, but the reality is that we don't know what Sam Presti's goals are. We don't know what his ideas for the organization is. So as much as that we want to say we're going to see these guys for the next 10, 15 years, the reality is that this organization is rewriting how you win, is rewriting how you compete, and rewriting how you rebuild. So what's going to happen? I don't know. But I will tell you this, as this team dwarfs and morphs and changes and becomes the Josh and Shea show, Josh and Shea show, Shake and Bake show, whatever you want to call it, man, when it becomes this show that everybody is talking about, we are the ones that are going to be lucky enough to see it from the very beginning. We're going to see it from the time that Sam Presti thought about it, this brilliant idea in his head, to the point that we're all understanding. And that's what's so great about what everything that's happening. And to me, it's like a breath of fresh air. Yes, we're sitting in a position that we're 18 and 41 right now. That's not necessarily a good thing, but it's the chances that we have to compete to win a championship in the near future. That's what is exciting about this Oklahoma City Thunder team.
And if you want to accept the Oklahoma City Thunder as your personal Lord and Savior, I welcome you to do that right now. But no, seriously, man, you get me so motivated. I feel like we're at a fucking revival, bro. Seriously.
Well, to me, it is about a revival, because that's what's happening right now, man. Oklahoma City is in the midst of a massive revival about how the NBA is going to be run. And we haven't seen the NBA in Oklahoma City for a long time. So a lot of these people have no idea what they're looking at. They have no idea how to look at this. I mean, all the other podcasts are so worried about draft picks right now, Mark. They can't see the big picture. And that's what's the most beautiful thing about what's going on, is these other guys are so focused on the small little details of what they think is going to be a successful championship run, is they don't see the big picture in front of us. That's why we're here. We see the big picture. We understand what's happening, where the flow is going. If you don't believe us, listen to past episodes. It all talks about what Shea and Josh and Sam Presti and Coach D, all their systems are going to have to flow. And I'm telling you guys, this is part of it. This is part of the entire system. Nobody else has ever done this in an organization. Nobody ever has ever had this many draft picks behind them. Nobody has had this good of players starting off your rebuild. Like, that's what's going on, guys. Like, this is the beginning. And that's what's so crazy, is that we watched a successful rebuild happen in Memphis, right, guys? We have more picks in Memphis. We have what I would consider better players than Memphis in the next couple of years. And that's going to be us. And it's going to be fun to see how we get to that point.
It's going to be a hell of a ride. And we're ready to play Indiana tonight. It's going to be an interesting game, you know, having to travel for the second of a back-to-back. That's going to be interesting. We'll see how we respond, but I expect a high level of play. Indiana has a reshuffled roster, gotten a lot of attention for the trades they've made, and rightfully so. I'm excited about this game. What do you expect against Indiana?
I expect a fast-paced game, man. I think we're going to get up the court a lot. We're going to just be running the offense. I think this is a perfect time that we see Shea and Josh a lot. I think it would be great that if we got a lot of minutes, but I don't know if about back-to-back. I don't know what we're going to do with back-to-back. I do know that Lou Dort and Ty and Mike and Kendrick, some of these guys will be out there tonight. So, again, it's all about back-to-back. What's going to happen with this back-to-back? I would love for us to be able to get out there and make the game competitive and see Shea put up another spectacular game, because this is what Shea's going to be able to do if he's out there, is, you know, get to that wing. The ball is going to get to you. You know it's going to get to you because Josh is looking for you. So, you know, just like sit back and have fun.
I love it, man.
And that's what I hope it happens.
For sure, bro. And join us tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the game. Thanks again, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.